Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. And with me today, I have a team up. I have Gene McDonald from Microblog. How are you, Gene?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing real good.
It's great to have you here. I feel like we don't get to talk often enough.
No, that's why we have podcasts, so we can talk to our friends.
That's exactly why we do this. And the other part of the team I have here today is James Dempsey. You probably know him from James Dempsey and the Breakpoints, the really cool band, and jamesdempsey.net. James, how are you?
I'm doing really well. It's great to be on your podcast, and good to meet you too.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun, and I'm surprised with as intertwined as our community is, this is the first time we've actually had a chance to say hi to each other.
It is, and I'm glad we're getting the chance.
Me too. So what I'm doing this week is interviewing people in the podcasting community that I think are just cool. So, of course, I had to have both of you here, and I don't know how many people know about your show, but they need to, because it's called The Weekly Review, and it's a show the two of you are doing together. And I know it's about organizing, but I want to do this justice. So tell me about the show.
Sure. It's called The Weekly Review, and you can find it at theweeklyreview.fm. And it is kind of a productivity-oriented show, task management focused show, but for people who are actually not that good at it or just starting to learn it. So James and I, it grew out of a conversation that James and I had early this year about, he had just started reading the classic David Allen, Getting Things Done. Mm-hmm. And I was excited for him because he was getting all sorts of stuff done. Meanwhile, I was also reflecting on my own sordid history with task management, where I have set that system up at least three times in the past. And I said, you know, I could totally use a coach. I could use somebody to be accountable with. I would try it again, and we could turn it into a podcast. And that's what I remember saying that to James, and he was like, yeah, let's do that. And the next thing I knew, we had a podcast, because he, you know how people say, oh yeah, yeah, we'll do that. He was serious, and when he wrote a theme song. I said, you should take care of the music. I thought he was going to write like a 5-second little instrumental intro for the podcast, but instead he wrote a full fledged, very catchy tune.
Yes. And, yes.
Ever since then, you know, it's the tune helps me make it through the editing of the podcast, because I'm always excited to listen to it again.
And it was the first time that I had done a podcast. So knowing that Gene had done a few before, it was great to, I jumped on the chance, because it was nice to have somebody show me the ropes. And also, it's great to be able to check in with Gene every week. And it's a great time for us to catch up and just talk a little before and after the podcast. So it's been a great experience, both in the midst of recording it, but also just getting to work with Gene has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise.
That's very cool. And James, I didn't realize until just now, this is your first podcast. So welcome to the family.
Oh, thank you very much.
Once you're in and doing a show, it gets kind of addictive. And then you find other things that you want to do shows about, and pretty soon you actually need a system for keeping track of all the tasks related to your podcasts.
And it's only been how many weeks now? We're on episode
19 or 18?
19. So yeah. I guess about 5, I don't know, I can't do the math in my head, but yeah, just a few months in, and yeah, I'm definitely getting addicted, and there are some thoughts brewing of maybe some other another podcast as well. But right now I'm very much enjoying just getting things done in the weekly review.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having you on and telling you about how it gets kind of addictive and you find other things you want to talk about, I realize I'm being an enabler.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think we were enabled already because I'm officially doing 5 podcasts now, but 2 of them are tiny microcasts, which are only a few minutes a week or maybe less, about guinea pigs and about my nephew. So that's a different category of podcast. But I am editing 3 podcasts a week. And, you know, I've been a guest on podcasts for 10 years now, at least, right? Mm-hmm. But I had never been responsible for the production of one until last summer when I started the Sestra cast on about Orphan Black on The Incomparable. And that is clearly a labor of love. And sure. I love it. But I learned, that's where I learned everything I know as of today about podcasts and audio production. And anyway, yeah, I could go on, but it's been really, really fun to dive into a new area of creativity and tech. The fusion of the two has always been the thing that interests me the most.
So, Gene, since you've been in the podcast world for a while now, I'm going to direct mm-hmm. this question at James. So, James,
go for it.
since you are new to this whole thing, what is it that you found most surprising about getting into podcasting?
I think the most surprising thing is that there is a relatively low barrier to doing so. I did have Gene to help set everything up for our podcast, but with the knowledge I already had doing a little bit of audio editing, and I tend to record my side of our conversation in GarageBand, it was pretty straightforward to do, and I was thinking it was much more of an arduous task. But we seem to be putting out decently produced podcasts, and it doesn't seem to be killing either one of us. So that's great.
You know, you saying the barrier to entry being very mm-hmm. low was a surprise. I honestly didn't know what you were going to say when I tossed that question out there, especially since I hadn't prepped you for it. But your response when I heard it ultimately did not surprise me, because when I teach podcasting classes, what I have found is that the common concern people have is that it's going to be too complicated and too expensive to start. And I have to let people know, listen, if you want to start a show, you've already got everything you need, because you have a computer, you have a smartphone, and that smartphone has a headset with a microphone built in, and the computer has a microphone built in. Your audio quality won't be as good, but you have everything to start. And now, James, you were in a better position, because as a musician, you probably already had microphones handy.
I do. I already had a decent microphone and some headphones. Excuse me. And I'd also have done some recording in GarageBand. However, what the expectation for me, whenever I try to record music on my own, it is awful. I cannot. It turns out terrible. So my expectation was that doing a podcast, I'd get similar results, but just recording voice seems to agree with me a lot more. So I was surprised.
That's awesome. All right. Since you guys have a show about productivity, I want to dive into that just a little bit. And I will be right up front and tell you what my process for keeping track of tasks is. I use OmniFocus. But I don't use it exclusively. One of the very important tools in my productivity and task management system is a Moleskine notebook and a pen. And I put a lot of stuff into OmniFocus, but things that I'm working on, like in the moment that just come up and it's going to be a transient thing. Do it now, get it done, but I need to keep track of it. That stuff all gets written down and never goes into OmniFocus. So am I even close to what you guys are doing, or am I way off in left field?
No, go ahead, James.
Well, first, shall we give our caveat, Jeannie, that, yes, that we are not gurus by any stretch of the imagination.
Yes, disclaimer.
But, I mean, the way that I've always looked at it is if a system is working for you, then that's probably a perfectly good system. My guess is, just thinking to what I've read in the GTD book, is if it is something transient, having like a separate list while you're focused on working on it, that's kind of a project-related document, and it makes potentially sense for it to be separate than your usual to-do list.
All right. And that's funny that you would say that, at least to me, because I tried to get into the GTD, getting things done, method, and it felt wrong for me because I felt like it became a thing where it was all about organizing tasks and projects instead of doing them. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the way it was working for me. And I totally mm-hmm. get why the GTD system is so vital for so many people. But to find out that what's working for me actually fits into the GTD system in a way, that's really funny.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have said this more than once that, if it's working for you, then it's working for you. You know, like, for example, one of the classic bits of the, you know, David Allen canonical GTD is to have a series of folders that is a tickler file to keep things where you keep things filed by date, and it sort of rolls over every month. It's a very cool system. I set this up for myself in 2006, the first time I read the book, and I still use that. I still use those folders, but James doesn't. And I can talk, you know, all day about where I think they really like relieve a lot of mental stress for me, because I know as long as I put something that needs to be dealt with, but in a future date somewhere where I'll find it on that future date, future me will say, oh yeah, I forgot about this. but that doesn't mean, I mean, I actually know very few people who have the whole 43 folders, you know, made up and used. So it really, you know, what works for you is what works for you.
And for me, I find that instead of having those folders, if I add a task into OmniFocus and give it a deferred date, then I know that and I can trust that on that date, that task is going to show up and remind me that I need to do it. And then when there are a handful of things like, you know, I need to, whatever, the car registration is a recent example. Yes. But there's usually a handful of things that are some will called or some tickets you got for some event in the future. Usually I have like 6 to 10 of those things hanging around. So I just put the reminder in OmniFocus with a note that the thing is in my pending folder. And then it's easy for me to just look in that pending folder without having to physically go through and rotate through different folders every day. So that works best for me, but the other way works best for Gene. And
I have my own special way, as I often do. Yeah. I have found
share.
Yes.
Yeah. I have found that another really useful thing for my productivity is if I get an email that I need to respond or that I can respond to right away, just do it. If I get an email where I need to maybe do some research or I have to think more about what's going to happen, I will forward that email to OmniFocus and turn it into a task. Is that something either of you do?
I have done that in the past. I'm not doing that right now, but I could see where I would get back to that system, because I do think it's a very useful, you know, shortcut to opening up a item in OmniFocus and spelling it out. If you, and also it links to the email, right?
Yes, it does. which is great when you're on your Mac, but when you're on your iOS device, you need to make sure that you have good details in there because you're not going to be reading that email. Yeah. So, James, I have a show-specific question for you.
Okay.
Did you get your luggage back?
I did get my luggage back.
That's awesome. And so listeners, what I'm referring to is one of the recent episodes, actually might have been just a couple weeks ago, where you had been traveling, and when you got home, your luggage didn't make it. And so you were calling it a sort of project to get your luggage back. And I'm glad you did, especially because you had a microphone that was in your luggage.
Yeah,
that's true. My microphone is in there. One of the bags never left the original airport, which was Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And the other bag went to what I think is like the canonical place where bags go. If they get missed, it went to Cleveland, and I think the only bags that don't go to Cleveland are ones that are supposed to go to Cleveland.
That's how nature balances things out. I wonder if that's where single socks end up too.
That could be.
Yeah. Now, Gene, I have a show specific question for you.
Okay.
You declared OmniFocus bankruptcy.
Yes.
Tell me about that, please.
Oh, well, I, after, you know, a few months of working with James on this podcast, I realized that I needed to go back to zero, that I was still in a state of some tasks and projects left over from 2014, which if they haven't been done by now, probably are never getting done. And I should just remove them. And there were so many. I don't know what's valuable, what's left that's valuable in my OmniFocus. And I probably am a good candidate for going back to zero. And so I did that. It was actually not hard. And I did save a database of those tasks if ever I wanted hit myself over the head with things that I didn't accomplish 4 to 8 years ago. Uh-huh. I'm ready. But it was pretty good because now, you know, because I have a different attitude about what I'm going to put into OmniFocus and how I'm going to put it in there than I had when I was putting things in there the last time. And so, there's instructions on the Omni website for doing it. I literally just search for OmniFocus bankruptcy because I'm not the first person who thought of it. And, you know, it's just a question of zeroing out your database on the sync server and on your devices, or making sure it like takes the new database of nothing from the sync server. And database of nothing is my new favorite kind of database.
I think that sounds like a wonderful name for a song.
Database of nothing.
Yeah, James, feel free to use that or not.
Anyway, so I'm just catching up now with kind of starting over and as an older, wiser, productivity, you know, oriented person.
All right. Well, we're getting close to running out of time, but I have a question for each of you, and it's the same question. Which is your favorite Star Trek series?
It's no doubt. Everybody knows mine is Voyager. Mm-hmm. And I would not have spent 2 years writing a complete guide to all the episodes of Voyager had I been a lukewarm fan of the series. So maybe you can put a link in the show notes to that, Jeff.
Okay, I will totally do that. All right, James, how about you?
Let's see. I'd have to say it is probably Next Generation. Mm-hmm. It's the one that I've watched probably most often, the most, and it may just be at this point just sci-fi comfort food. Mm-hmm. So it's the one that I enjoy watching the most. I'm currently, well, I have to admit, I've not made it all the way through 3 of the series. I've watched a few seasons of Voyager. I'm working through them on Netflix. I just started Enterprise, which I'm finding entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I think, I think definitely Next Generation.
I would say I'm probably Next Generation, except for season 1, but that's the season where they were just trying to figure out what in the world they were even doing with the new Star Trek show. And I didn't realize until just recently, I hadn't seen almost all of Deep Space Nine. I discovered this because what I do when I need to have just like a break where I'm not doing anything and don't want to like take in new, I will watch an episode of Star Trek. So on Netflix, I started with the classic series and I worked my way through that. And then I rewatched Enterprise because I hadn't seen that in a long time, and then went through Next Generation and then started Deep Space Nine. And by the time I got to season 3, I realized I had no memory of these episodes. So I just finished Deep Space Nine and wow, that series really took off. And that I'm surprised it was renewed after the first year, honestly.
Yes.
But by the time they got like into season 3, I think it really took off and just kept getting better and better. So now that I'm done with that, that means that I have Voyager left. And I was saving that one because I had seen that one most recently anyhow.
Yeah.
So now I'll get back into that. And so Gene will have to talk Voyager more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did, you know, my viewer's guide is basically a big spreadsheet by which you can sort it either by my recommendations of which episodes to skip or.
And I agree with your recommendations on which episodes to skip.
Yeah. I also, you know, just for interest's sake, I copied out all the IMDb ratings for every episode because I'm obsessed and it's kind of interesting to sort them that way. You know, I say obviously from best to worst, but sometimes from worst to best is even more interesting. I'll look forward to chit-chatting with you about Voyager. Somebody just recently suggested I do a Voyager podcast, and I'm like, well, that's why I did the spreadsheet, so I could avoid doing a whole podcast, because there's 177 episodes of Voyager, and as much as I love the show, I don't want to make 177 podcast episodes.
you just need to use text-to-speech and just auto-generate the podcast episodes from your spreadsheet.
Perfect. That's true.
or maybe do it as a mini-series where you do maybe like an hour-long episode for each season.
That's a good idea, too. I was also thinking by character, and maybe we'd start with the Neelix and just get him out of the way, work our way up to Janeway and have, you know, I don't know. That's the most, like, interesting way of cutting into it right now that I can think of, because I think people have a lot of feelings, both bad and good, about the characters, and, like, maybe dealing with those up front.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the one question that I've always wondered through the entire run of that series, how is it that Harry Kim never got a promotion above Ensign?
Yeah. Somebody had to be Ensign. There's only one Ensign on the whole. No, that's not true. But somebody in the team, you know, the core team of people who they send on away missions had to be an ensign.
Yeah, and, I guess. But I always felt
Harry. I did too.
Hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Gene, thank you for being here today.
Thanks again for having me. It was a delight, as always.
It was a lot of fun. And James, thank you for being here too. I'm so glad we finally get to chat.
Me too. It's great to chat with you, and thanks so much for having me on.
And yeah, thank you. And I'll make sure that the show notes have links to your various projects. And listeners, I'm so glad that you're here. Thanks for listening. I have more interviews coming through the rest of the week, so be sure and check in for those. I'll see everyone again tomorrow.